Hello, everybody. Welcome back. It's great to see you.
Hey. So today we're going to talk about, is society on the brink of collapse? Well, according to one respected anthropologist from Oxford, well, his answers are kind of shocking. Now, before we get there, you might have realized we haven't kind of done a video in the last little bit. We've been
busy. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's hard to get it online sometimes.
Yeah. Particularly because of something that happened a couple of weeks ago that took up a lot of our time.
We attended what is called the Catholic Family Life Conference out at Lac Ste. Anne. It's near Edmonton, Alberta. And we were fortunate and blessed to be asked to speak. So that was really what took up all of our time.
Yeah, for the second year in a row. And I think it's, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's the largest Catholic family conference in Canada. So it's a real blessing to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. And the title of our talk, do you remember?
It was called Family and Marriage Under Siege.
Yeah. So have you noticed that? Family and marriage being under siege. And we talked about seven ways that the family is being attacked. So as a result, we did a lot of research, and then I came across this J.D. Unwin, this anthropologist from Oxford, because one of the ways that the family is under attack, and this is one of our points, is through cohabitation and divorce, which leads us to, again, J.D. Unwin, this anthropologist from Oxford University. He published his work in the 1930s. His life's work is volumes and volumes and volumes, okay? And it's summarized in a book called Sex and Culture that's over 600 pages long. But here are two of his key findings that are relevant for our discussion today. A society collapses, he says, when society loses two things. Number one, premarital chastity and marital fidelity. Premarital chastity and marital fidelity. And how he came to this conclusion is remarkable. He studied 80 primitive tribes and six civilizations spanning over 5,000 years. This is exhaustive research, friends. And he says, without exception, a society collapses when it loses premarital chastity and marital fidelity. Keep in mind that this anthropologist is agnostic or an atheist. He doesn't really have a Christian worldview at all. And he's publishing his work prior to the sexual revolution in the 1960s. So pretty significant. This is what he said.
The whole of human history does not contain a single instance of a group becoming civilized unless it has been absolutely monogamous, nor is there any example of a group retaining its culture after it has adopted less rigorous customs.
So his observations are that when a society starts collapsing, it's because it loses those structures that hold it together, like education and commerce and the arts. These things that hold a society together fall apart when the culture loses premarital chastity and marital fidelity. He also draws the conclusion, a connection between this and the loss of reason, which is completely consistent with our Catholic worldview, isn't it? Because sin is an indication of a loss of reason. There's nothing more insane than choosing a temporary pleasure over the infinite good of God. And so he doesn't have this worldview of a Christian worldview, but he's like, this is what happens when it collapses. Now, he says two things happen when a society collapses. One, it either descends into a civil war, so in other words, it implodes upon itself, or number two, another culture that has more moral constraints and efficient reasoning take it over by invasion. So, doesn't it look like our culture is suffering some of the precursors of this? Like, here's some statistics that Janelle will share with you.
In the United States, overall, the share of adults aged 18 to 44 who have ever cohabitated is now larger than those who have ever been married, with 59% having cohabitated compared to 50% who have been married. Recent data on premarital chastity in the United States indicates that the vast majority of individuals engage in premarital sexual activity. According to the National Survey of Family Growth, between 2017 and 2019, approximately 89.3% of women and 93.4% of men aged 15 to 49 reported having had premarital sexual intercourse. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, that 93%, almost 94% of men have reported to having premarital sexual intercourse. That seems like that's pretty close to 100%.
I think the point is what we are experiencing now in our culture is a complete collapse of premarital chastity. Like complete and total. Mm-hmm. Add to that what J.D. Edwin did not anticipate, which was, have you heard of it? The internet. And the proliferation of online pornography. So think about this. When a young man watches online porn, what he's doing is he's losing his premarital chastity through this image. And then a man who's married, viewing online pornography, is being unfaithful to his wedding vows. This wasn't anticipated by this anthropologist. The second thing about this online pornography thing is that it's worldwide. This is not just a single culture engaging in this sinful activity. It's worldwide, which starts making me wonder, is this collapse not just in Western society? Is this collapse, could it be argued, a worldwide collapse? Because we see a loss of reason, particularly in the West. That like you can think about education. We're telling kids that they can identify with whatever they feel like they are. What a loss of reason. I mean, the point here is that we are seeing a complete loss of premarital chastity. Do you know when to continue?
Sure. So we talked a lot about the United States, so maybe we should talk about Canada here. 23% of couples in Canada live in common law. The interesting thing is that in Quebec, 43% of couples live in common law. Nearly 8 in 10 individuals aged 20 to 24 in a relationship live common law.
I'd like to draw your attention to what John Paul II said. As the family goes society. What we have is the breakdown of the nuclear family. And that is the building block of society. So can you start seeing the cracks in the foundation of our society? You know, the sexual revolution happened in the 1960s. Again, J.D. Edwin published these findings in the 1930s. And he says that complete collapse happens within three generations of the loss of premarital chastity and marital fidelity. Three generations. And you might be thinking, oh, we got a little bit of time here. Three generations, 300 years. Not so. He says that a generation, according to his research, is 33 years. So three generations, 99 years. If you do the math and you start saying the breakdown starts happening in the 1960s or 70s, somewhere around there, well, you can do the math, okay? And so look on the horizon and look at the cracks that you see. You know, I think we're living in a culture that has lost shame regarding sexual immorality. And I think you had something to say about this.
I know that even when I was growing up, I remember the first time I heard of somebody moving in with their boyfriend. It was when I was in high school. I think I was like grade 11. And so this would have been in the 1990s. And I remember it was really shocking. And maybe I was living in a bubble. I don't know. I went to a Catholic school, but most of the students that I was with weren't actually practicing their faith. And I remember being really shocked by that. And I think a lot of people that were close to me were shocked by that as well. But then now, like you fast forward like 20 years, 30 years, and now I'm seeing like a lot of these same people like ushering their children into like cohabitating with their partners and like helping them move in together. And I just think, what happened? What happened to our faith? You know, so there's just a real lack of shame, and the people just don't realize that it's a sin to be cohabitating, and it's first and foremost an offense towards God. Like, do you remember people living together when you were in high school?
You know, not as much.
Maybe you were like living off in Timbuktu and didn't know anybody.
No, it was northern Saskatchewan. It was Timbuktu. But you even see this within the church in one respect, the Catholic Church I'm making reference to. Think about the language that we use now. When a man and woman are divorced and then they move in together, maybe now they're civilly married. What does the church call that? They call it an irregular union. Well, objectively, that's fornication. They're still married to somebody else, and now they're living together with another partner. That's fornication. And that's damaging to the Catholic psyche, because what it does is reduces the gravity of the situation. A divorced and remarried person is objectively in mortal sin.
Mm-hmm. Unless they got an annulment.
Right. And in that case, they weren't married in the first place, mm-hmm. and so their marriage can be valid. But a simple civil divorce, now let's shack up and get married civilly, this is much more serious than just an irregular union. Mm-hmm. This is first an offense against God. Mm-hmm. See, here we have, again, the cracks of the foundation of society now happening within the church. Now, I understand that the intention of using this language is to be more pastoral. But do you see how when we use this pastoral language, it starts diluting and clouding the seriousness of the situation? For after all, if I'm just in an irregular union, well, there's nothing to repent of. But when you call it sin, fornication, it draws us to our need mm-hmm. of a Savior. Which brings, I think, us to our last point here, what this secular anthropologist does not foresee is God's grace. And that's what we have to remember. I think we are slipping quite quickly into very dark and sinful times. We have to remember the scriptures, where sin abounds, grace abounds more. Mm-hmm. So as the cracks in society start forming bigger and bigger and things start crumbling, our education system or maybe our financial systems, when these things start crumbling, we have to remember where sin abounds, grace abounds more. And this is an opportunity for great sanctity, for great union with Jesus. This is an opportunity, a time where great saints will rise up. Will you be one of them?
Mm-hmm. I have one more thing to say.
Sure.
Okay, so recently I was listening to this podcast by Kimberly Hahn, Beloved and Blessed. It's amazing. Anyhow, she was talking about how there's this parish in the United States. I think it was Kentucky. I'm not sure. And she was saying that for their marriage prep, what they do, and because a lot of these couples who are preparing for marriage are actually cohabitating. And so on the second day that these couples come for their lessons, they do a whole session on premarital fidelity, premarital chastity. And they have priests available so that people can go to confession. And then not only that, they challenge them to commit to a life of chastity, premarital chastity, until their wedding day. And then not only that, they also have parishioners present who are happy and willing to allow one of the members of the couple to come live with them free of charge until their wedding day. Isn't that beautiful? It's like they're really setting up their couples for a successful marriage and then also to help society in the end.
That's charity in action. That's charity. Opening a way for a person to get out of the situation that is objectively wrong. I think that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Yeah. I'm just like wondering, like, would a couple be like, yeah, can I go live with you for like 6 months? I would sure hope that they would have the grace to say yes. Like, mm-hmm. I can see how it would be difficult. You're already settled and everything. But like, man, it's way better to live a life free of mortal sin.
So practically two responses that we do on our part as we see the cracks in the foundation of society. One, we strive to build community. And we've shared this with you before, but we are actively trying to build community of like-minded people by welcoming them into our home to do number two, the second thing, and that is to pray the rosary. Mm-hmm. Padre Pio said that the rosary is the weapon for our times. And so perhaps you can do something similar. Build community, welcome people into your home to pray with you. Mm-hmm. We pray for three intentions. One, peace in the world and peace in our home. Two, reparation for sin. our own sin and that of the whole world. And number three, that God would raise up saints in our midst. And we would challenge you to do something similar. Anyways, I think we're done.
Yeah,
huh?
I think we're done. Sorry, that was a little long.
Hey, share with us below what's the note to you and why. We always love hearing from you, and we'll see you soon. God bless.